율곡의 어머니 사임당 신씨는 우리 역사상
Let me deliver the message. Shin Saimdang is well known as one of the best female painters in Korean history and a good example of a good wife and mother. One of her sons is Yulgok Lee, and she had encouraged his talent and taught him well since he was little. Yulgok was smart, and thanks to his mother's education, he achieved his studies very fast. So, at seven, he finished reading Confucian scriptures, and he understood all the meanings. He could make Chinese sentences skillfully. He was already very skillful that grown-ups who had studied for 10 or 20 years couldn't compete with him. He took the royal examination 9 times, and he won the first place in every test. He served at various government positions and worked for the country and people with all his life. If parents or teachers are admirable and trustworthy by everyone, they will teach and admonish their children or students rightly. They will teach them to live a valuable life with the right mind and spirit. If the children have a good heart field and they are taught by parents well, they can become excellent people. But if the heart field is not good, even if they have good parents, they cannot accept their teachings, the right teachings. Even with right teachings, those who have bad heart field may fail to become good people. Although Jesus' 12 disciples received his teaching directly, Judas Iscariot couldn't make a good result. You know, God is holy, good, and righteous. He is incomparable to any parents or teachers. So how much more can we become perfect if we obey him and are taught by him? For this message, I refer to the message the senior pastor preached in the revival meeting in 1993. Jesus' teaching and law is to make us true men and to let us obey to go the way to the beautiful heaven. Our Lord's teaching leads us to goodness, righteousness, and light. He leads us to resemble God so that we can go to the way of eternal life and heaven. Then, what is the reason that we cannot obey His word? It's the fleshly thought. Those who realize the love of God willingly obey His word and to obey His word to resemble His heart. However, the fleshly thought hinders you from fully obeying the truth. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 says, For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For example, if someone does what you hate, you think you hate it first, and you will hate that person, which is a thing of the flesh. As it is said, the mindset on the flesh is death. If you hate or have jealousy on someone, it is swallowing the desire of the enemy devil, opposite to God. It says the wages of sin is death. It says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Also, if you follow the spirit, as it is said, those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. If you are according to the Spirit, the word to love your enemies will come up to your mind if we, about your enemies. Our members of Manmin, are you according to the Spirit or the flesh? As it says, he is, I am the way and the life and the truth. Those who pursue the Spirit enjoy life and peace. Those who believe in Jesus are full of joy and peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. When you have this word in you, you can rejoice always and give thanks in everything. Because you follow the desire of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit in you is pleased with you, and our Father is pleased and give us peace and joy. When you give some bad words, and if you hear some rumor, bad rumors, and you deliver it to others, do you have peace in your heart? No. It's because the Holy Spirit in you remained about that. So we have to be united in the truth, and we have to obey the word of God centered on the truth. The Bible says the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Let's say someone slaps you on the right cheek. Then what does the flesh thought work? Think about when you were not changed. Someone slapped you on your cheek. Before you believe the Lord, or before you listen to the message of the, word of truth, you would have thought, what for? Did I do anything wrong? And you may burst into anger and try to slap him back. If in fleshly thought, because you were hit once unfairly, then you want to pay him back. When you have the thought that you don't control it, you now put it into actions. It becomes the work of the flesh. Before you hit him back, the thing of the flesh, the thought comes to your mind. Why should I was hit? It's unfair. So you will not have peace in your mind, and you feel you suffer. But the word of God is the opposite. I don't remember exactly, but when I was in elementary school, I was playing outside, and someone was teasing other friend, and I said, "Do not do that." Then he started to cry. Then his father appeared, and he thought that I hit him. And his father hit me. So I said this to my mother, Mrs. Bong Lim Ni. Then she said, well, it's fair. So then when at the moment I heard it from my mother, my ill feelings calmed down and disappeared. I felt peace. If Mrs. Lee said, who did that to you, and with anger, then I would keep the ill feelings. But at the time when Mrs. Lee said, it is fair, then the ill feelings disappeared from my heart. So it is the way to control your ill feelings to obey the truth. If you are according to the Spirit of truth, how will the Holy Spirit guide you? How does the Holy Spirit guide you? Your word, your appearance, your actions? Will the Holy Spirit say that He is pleased with your actions or words? Or are you happy? And do you rejoice in your heart? Of course, you may think, why does it strike me? But you won't think it from evil mind. You will wonder what you have done wrong to Him first. And then the Holy Spirit will remind of the word, whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If you are according to the Spirit, you will follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You can turn to the left if someone slaps you on your right cheek. You will yield, sacrifice, and serve others with a humble heart. So you'll be able to have peace with even enemies. How can such a person have an enemy? Well, in the past, someone told senior pastor that someone did something wrong, something evil like this and that. Then the senior pastor said, I'm so grateful. You must be grateful. Because without that person, you cannot be refined in your heart. Then ill feelings disappeared, and he came to think that he had to get rid of his ill feelings. So, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, those who have the mindset on the flesh cannot be subject to the law of God. So, as long as you have fleshly thoughts, you cannot surrender to God's word. You can't obey. So, to take it captive to the obedience to Christ, obedience of Christ, you have to break the fleshly thought with the word of truth completely. If you break the fleshly thought, you can have faith that you can do anything. As it says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Although we pray, keep the Lord's day, give offerings, and evangelize others, many of us disobey God because of this mindset on the flesh. Because of this mindset on the flesh, we make God angry with obedience, disobedience. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As it says, we have to delight ourselves in God, but you can't please him now. How can you accomplish your desire of heart? Those who have this mindset on the flesh cannot bear the fruit God wants, no matter how hard they try. No matter what position you have, even if you are pastors, elders, senior deaconesses, or leaders, as much as you have fleshly thoughts, you can't accept the word. The word comes to have nothing to do with you. The word should be the measure in you, yourself. But you must not use it to, and you must not use it to measure or point out others. Every word should become the word piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, of you. But you apply it to, not to yourself, but to others. So you are slow to change, and you can't receive the work of thorough repentance that you can discover yourself. Because of this thought, many believers cannot obey. Because of thoughts, they can't do what to do. So God's will cannot be wholly fulfilled. If you have faith, unless you pull out this fleshly thought, it will become a painful, bitter root. So leaders and workers should fulfill this word more completely. If you listen to the word with an earnest heart that you can't bear without pulling out fleshly thought, God will help you to cast out fleshly thought. Even though you are trying hard with faith, being faithful, and praying, because of human thought, many of you cannot achieve the righteousness of God, nor receive the solution to your own problems. So, although you are trying to act good, sometimes you lose heart. Then, what is the human thought which is called this fleshly thought? We humans have a brain, and everything we accept through senses is put in the brain cells, and it is also put in the heart. But if you don't put it in your heart, you will forget it. If you hear something just like letting it go in one ear, out the other, you will forget it. When you Although you hear through your ear, if you see other things by your eyes, you cannot accept it with feelings. So it seems that you hear the word, but you forget it easily because you didn't take it with feeling. If I explain in more details, only when you accept it with feelings, it will be planted in your heart. Otherwise, it can't be input into your heart. Have you ever tried fermented skate? In a certain area of our country, if there is no fermented skate, it is not a feast. But those who have not tasted the fermented skate before, they, because the smell is very unique, so they would feel not good by smelling it. Well, if you smell it, you can just pass it, even if it has bad smell. But if you bite it once, then you cannot. Just swallow it. Because you have to swallow it, you swallow it, then the bad smell remain for a long time. But there are people who enjoy that fermented skate. But those who have not tasted it usually don't like it. So once they bite it, they don't want to try it any longer. Likewise, it is different between you just to hear the explanation and you experience it with feelings. For some students, their grades don't improve although they study hard, while some other students get good grades with a little study. It's because the students with good grades have different feelings when they study. They input teachings into their head and mind along with the environment around them. The thought is to recall what was input in your brain, into your brain. If you feel what you see, it will be input into the memory cell of your brain. If you don't feel it, it won't be input. There are examples that our senior pastor took for us. Let's say you are going to see your parents in another city, and on your way home by train, you see some scenes through the window. But if you don't if you don't look at it with feelings, and if you do not input the scene into your mind, then you will you cannot remember later. If you take such a scene into your heart, then later you will remember it. But on the way to your parents, if you think like, what should I do? What should I eat with the parents? And then the scene will not remembered. And you cannot recall the memory, the scene on the way home. So only when you input the things into your heart with feelings, you can remember, and to recall it is your thought. After the same class for an hour, some students don't remember what they learned, while some other students remember all they heard. What is the difference? Those who don't remember what they heard, if they think like, I'm going to hang out with my friends after the class, hope the class ends quickly, or we'll play billiard, I should play it well, and I lost last time, I could win if I play like this and that. And they picture the pool table and play in their mind in the class, during the class. Then, how can they remember the lecture after an hour? If they think about how to hang out, what to eat, or where to go shopping with friends, then although they hear the lecture, it doesn't get imprinted in their heart. Even though they are looking at the teacher, their mind is somewhere else, so they don't feel anything about the lecture. It applies the same when you attend worship service, praise or pray. If you sing a praise with other thought in mind, although your lips move by habit, you can't be inspired by the praise. When you listen to the sermon, if you focus on it and take it as yours to discover yourself through the word, you receive grace through the sermon. You will receive grace through the sermon. But when you listen to the message or praise, you just apply it to others, then how can it? How can you change your heart? Although you sing a praise, although you your lips move to sing, if your heart is somewhere else, or if you think like, why do they move their hands like that? Then, how can you receive grace through the praise? Think about the lyrics of Mamim praises given by the Father. In the lyrics, Father's heart is contained. So when we think about the lyrics so while we are singing, then we can feel the grace of Father and we can be changed more quickly. However, the problem is that there are so many untruths in the knowledge we input. There is much more untruth that belongs to darkness than the truth belongs to God. God says, there is none righteous, not even one. So, we are taught by unrighteous men. If one or two knowledge is truth, the others are untruth. Righteousness and truth comes from God. When someone speaks against the other, passes judgment, and condemns him, people think that it is righteous to reveal his innocence. Otherwise, they feel angry and unfair. But Jesus Christ teaches us not to fight back or argue against one another, but rather to ruse. He says to be patient and control emotions. He says that those who lose win. As Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He says not to stand against it with evil. He says not to overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not telling you that you think evil about your brothers. So it is It means that you have to overcome evil with good. The way to overcome evil with good is to wait for the Father God's time, as we're taught by the Lord, and to love the enemies. If someone hits you, if you want to beat him, you will build up your strength by boxing or taekwondo, or you may beat him by using your parents, but you will make it more evil. You should know that it will make you have more enemies. But if you overcome evil with good, you will obey and you will become one. There are much difference between God's word and worldly knowledge or teachings. If your own child was beaten by other children and got hurt, you must be very upset. In that case, what do parents generally say? Why are you beaten? You eat meals three times a day, so does he. But are you beaten by him? Why? But still, this parent is good. But if the parents are evil, they say, it's a shame to have you. Why are you beaten? Don't you have fists? Where will you use them? They make their child think evil. Not to hear such words from their parents, children try to beat others by all means. If they can't beat others, they think themselves fool, and they may have depression, or oppositely, they may become violent. However, God says, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And if anyone wants to take your shirt, let him have your coat also. He says not to beat others, but to yield and sacrifice. Likewise, what you learned from your parents and teachers don't agree with the truth of God. You have heard the goodness and love of the shepherd for 36 years. Our shepherd taught us not to deal with him with evil. He taught us to move even wicked people's heart with goodness. And we are running to resemble that goodness. We are here because of that. And this message was preached by the shepherd in 1993. Our shepherd wants us to be good. He wants us to be united in one. And he wants us to obey the word of truth. This is the heart of the shepherd. Now we have to understand his heart. We have to realize the depths of his heart. And we have to be united in one and run forward. What has been input since our birth is mostly untruth. The flesh is the combination of body and sinful nature. As God says to overcome evil with good, act to make peace and with a good heart, then God will work. The other may repent or return. God may melt his heart to rather make peace with you. Well, not all things, I mean, with fleshly things are untruth. 1 + 1 = 2. This is truth. This is unchanging truth. Even in flesh, it is said to be obvious true. But most of them except these things are untruth and fleshly thought. All those wrongly input things interrupt our accepting truth. As I told you earlier, when worldly people, if they are beat by others, beaten by others, then their parents said they are fool. And they are hurt in pride, and some people commit suicide from it. But in truth, we don't try to beat others, but we try to lose in truth. So the way of God and the way of the world is different like this. Because God is the God of truth, we cannot communicate with Him by untruth, the fleshly thought. The fleshly thought is death. It can never obey God's word. It is hostile toward God. It can't please God. Then, why is this thought hostile to God, and what is the righteousness of God? For example, secular schools teach evolution, but God created everything in the universe, so it interrupts our meeting with God. We have input so many things that don't agree with the Bible. The Bible says to seek the other's benefit first, but there are some husbands like this. After they are scolded by boss at work, they drink a lot or vent their anger on their wife or children. In this way, untruth makes you seek for your own benefit. If you get anger, you vent that anger on your family, then it is seeking your own benefit. When you are sick, you ask others to only take care of you. You don't understand others' pain, but you demand many things to make you feel ease. So, God's love is opposite to fleshly love. When my family lived in Daebangdong, one day, someone had been to the restroom. Someone bled at the nose in the restroom, and there was a trace. After the senior pastor used the restroom, he asked who had bled at the nose. And then he said, if you don't clean it up, the next person who used the restroom will worry about it. It makes others worry, so it's not love, he said like this. People think it's natural that someone who is sick wants to be taken care of and comforted by others, and it's natural to comfort him. They think like this, and they think it's love, but God's righteousness is not seeking own benefit, but others' benefit. He says to rather give if someone says to give. He says to go with him 2 miles if someone wants you to go 1 mile with him. He says to turn to left if someone slaps you on the right cheek. Are you practicing this word? When others slaps you, when someone slaps you on your right cheek, then do you turn your left? Or if someone disagrees with you, you are not get along with him. Please check yourself with this word of truth. Today in this material world, if they need, they deceive others, breaking laws, even by breaking laws. The strong seek their benefit, even by making the weak suffer. In the society, they say the strong, use the power on the weak to seek their own benefit. And the word that they, their standard is their own power and their authority. So if others don't agree with him, they try to force them with their power. But Father God says to serve and sacrifice. Man's righteousness is so much different from God's righteousness like this. If you want to be loved by God and become truly righteous, you have to demolish self-righteousness completely. There are people who fulfill the righteousness of faith. Apostle Paul said, I have counted whatever things were gained to me as loss for the sake of Christ. And he said it was in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Then what kind of man was Paul? He was born in Tarsus of Cilicia. Tarsus was the biggest city and capital of Cilicia, part of Syria at the time. He had a Roman citizenship from his birth. It means that his parents were outstanding citizens in that city. Tarsus was a typical city with Greek and Roman cultures. Philosophy and other studies were highly developed. So we can assume that Paul was very well educated. Also, Tarsus was the city like a counterweight between Oriental spirit and Western spirit. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, the Pharisees. He was well educated in Tarsus, and then he went to Jerusalem and strictly educated under Gamaliel, the best doctor of law at the time. He was a Jew, and he was leading to persecute Christians. He even went to Damascus to find Christians to put them in prisons. But on his way to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ. Through that meeting, he realized that he was wrong, and Jesus Christ was the Savior. It was a dramatic turning point for him to change into a great apostle for Christianity. It was a moment. He didn't go home and study and think. At the very moment, he who persecuted Jesus turned into one who rather proves Jesus. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He said like this. Before, with all knowledge and refinement, he couldn't recognize Messiah. He persecuted people who believed the Savior. That's why he confessed like this. He says that he cast off all fleshly things and gained new truth after meeting Jesus Christ. He confesses that all he knew in the world was derived from human limits. He confesses this from the bottom of his heart. Paul realized all this fact. He came to know that the origin of all knowledge is in God, and wisdom is in God. He found the surpassing value of God's sacred and true wisdom and knowledge. Even if you are ignorant, weak, or poor, if you live in good righteousness and light, how beautiful it is. If you believe God, you will gain the eternal life thanks to this valuable knowledge, and you will live like a decent human being and receive blessing on this earth too. And then, Paul turned everything to nothing, and he accepted the valuable knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then he used only a part of his former knowledge to be helpful to the knowledge of Christ. So, we have to take the word of God as truth, taking the things right to the truth, but cast off the things wrong to truth. That's why it says, to take everything, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Our flesh should die, a spirit should revive every day. Next person is Jacob. Jacob was a wise person. He was said to be deceiving. Wise people in the world tend to be cunning and crafty. Jacob was wise in a worldly sense. He took the birthright from his brother with a bowl of lentil stew and ran to his uncle's house. Living there, he took also his uncle's wealth with his own wisdom. He received the blessing of the firstborn after all, but because of it, he had to live far away from his family for 20 years. He knew that his 20-year effort could be ended before his brother. He ran away from his brother with fear, but now his brother is coming with hundreds of men. If Esau wanted to welcome Jacob, he didn't have to bring such many men. Even after 20 years, Esau still had ill feelings about him, and he came out with hundreds of men to take his brother. Jacob thought he would be killed by Esau. He gained wives, children, possessions with laboring for 20 years, but now even his life was in danger. Only then he wrestled with all his strength all night before God. Only when he met the situation that he may lose everything he owned, he came to kneel down and asked God. At the moment of that, he realized that anything like wealth, honor, and authority is not worthy. Only then God helped him. He piled up emotions for 20 years, but by clinging onto God, his self-righteousness was broken. And he went forward to his brother Esau. And he went forward to his brother Esau with a sincere heart. Then God bandaged it and melted Esau's heart. Esau was impressed and wept, hugging him. Although you are afflicted in every way, only when you don't use human thought method but kneel down to move God's heart, and any hardships can be solved. To gain Christ, we have to consider everything like fleshly thought and self-righteousness rubbish and cast them off. If we gain Christ, in Him there is everything, limitless power, authority, honor, wealth, and health. But in evil generation, people think they know everything. They are full of self-possessions. They act rudely to others as if they were the best. There are so many people full of self-righteousness like this. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law in a family with serious conflict, husband and wife in discord, parents and children, boss and subordinates, friends or country leaders. Because they are full of self-righteousness, they don't listen to others. They insist that they are right. No matter how hard we teach the truth to them, because they have ego irrespectively, they don't receive it. Because they have arrogance and selfishness, they cannot understand the truth. They cannot understand it. So, even though you have learned a lot, if you recognize God and humbly accept the word of truth, it's a blessing to you. Paul considered his everything rubbish only to gain Christ. That is, because he met the best teacher, he cast off all fleshly thoughts, interrupting his learning the truth, and took in only the best knowledge, the truth. Blessed believer, blessed members of Mamin met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one whose life, way of eternal itself, the Master of Heaven and the Best One, shouldn't we learn from him? Also, we met the shepherd who is going the same way that the Lord took, and showing the same goodness and love with the Lord's. We have learned the truth from this shepherd for 36 years, haven't we? Don't you want to resemble the shepherd? To do so, first we have to cast off all the fleshly thoughts we have and put on earth and fulfill the goodness and love of the Lord and the shepherd. Only then we can will be able to enter New Jerusalem. Our shepherd said like this, when we repented in 2010, the members wrote a letter of repentance saying they did this and that, but at the end they wrote that they loved him. With love, our shepherd prayed for us to be forgiven. We confess that we love that shepherd. Then we have to focus on, we have to center on the truth, the word of truth. Then we can run forcibly to New Jerusalem. Likewise, once you gain Christ, you will discover your true self. You come to know what your sin is in the world. You come to know, understand about righteousness and light. You know what you have to live for, the purpose of life. You will understand where you came from and why you live and where you are going to. You thought it was the end if people died after living for 80 or 90 years. But now you learned that there is eternal life to come, and you come to hope for the reality, our true home, heaven. Because you have hope for heaven, you don't take what you want to take and enjoy what you want to enjoy in this world. You accumulate things in heaven. Paul was serving God with his belief. He was blameless by the law. Also, he had worldly knowledge, good environment. He was rich in everything. So he had a pride that he was keeping the law thoroughly. He thought he was righteous. But after meeting Jesus Christ, he realized that he was foremost of all sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. Why did he realize so, even while he was keeping the law? The law says, eye to eye and ear to ear. Apostle Paul kept it, as it says. But the righteousness of God truly wants is not eye to eye or ear to ear. Because man is evil, God says it, not to let us to pay back exceedingly. But Apostle Paul kept the word eye to eye and ear to ear. But after meeting Jesus, he realized that it was wrong. If Paul believed God rightly, he must have heard God's voice. But because he believed with legalism, he couldn't recognize Christ, but persecuted Christians. God isn't just always pleased when you keep his word as it is. God isn't just always pleased because you keep the word to do, not to do, to keep, and to cast off. It is legalism. Then, what is important? It's nothing if you don't have love in you. You can keep the law without love. You can give tithes. You can keep the Sabbath. You can evangelize people out of your own fervor. These things of the law, can you do without love? But what God truly wants is the love to sacrifice, serve, and be humble. We have to keep the law within the love. The law is completed with love. So righteousness without love and keeping the law without love has nothing to do with God. The Holy Spirit groans in you because you don't have spiritual love, even though you say you live by the word. You may pass judgment and condemn others by that legalistic belief. We have to check ourselves at this point. You attend worship services, you pray and give offerings and do your duties. But if you check whether you have a spiritual love or not, you realize your own righteousness is not God's righteousness, but evil. Shepherds or Anna or Simeon knew the coming of Jesus Christ. How did they know? In the Bible, we can see that they loved God from the bottom of their hearts. They were truly good. People who kept the law couldn't meet the Savior. They were rather hypocrites. Righteous people who had a good heart recognized baby Jesus as the Savior. To such people, God sent His messenger and let them know it. It's the same today. There are many workers for God's kingdom. Some of them met God. They are loved by God and walking with God. But some others cannot meet God even though they try to find Him. Then they'd rather criticize people who met God. Then what is the mystic belief? It's a Christian life that they act by the law outwardly without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know how to repent thoroughly. Can you repent thoroughly whenever you want? Only when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can repent thoroughly. If you repent with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, your sins will be washed away and you will receive God's love and strength. You must have this kind of experience. When you repent with your whole heart, then you will feel the grace from God. I had this experience. I repented by the grace of God for like several months. Even when I sang a joyful praise, I cried. How can I enter heaven with this evil heart? I repented. And when we sang when the road is called up yonder, then I thought, can I be called when the Lord comes again? I thought that and I cried and I repented of my wrongdoings. By the grace from God, I repented thoroughly for a couple of months. Because I cried for a couple of months, I prayed that, Father, it's so hard to cry now. Then Father God gave me the grace of controlling. You must have this kind of experience. If you are full of the grace and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if someone points out you about anything, you will hold it and you will pray with it, about it, with repentance. You will take any word as yours, and if he says that the righteousness without love is evil, then you realize yourself as evil and you pray with tears. Do you do so? Without this fullness of the Holy Spirit or inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you may cry, you may shed tears by some impression. Even worldly people shed tears when they watch some sad movies. But the thorough repentance is possible when you receive a spirit of repentance from above. So when someone says that they shed many tears when they pray and they repent very much, then I say to you, shed tears as much as you can. But I recommend that you will shed tears with joy and thanks, because if you cast off those sin or evil, you can go to New Jerusalem. So then Father God will be pleased with your prayer and your tears. I hope you seek for the fullness of the Holy Spirit like this. When you pray, when you listen to the message, well, especially in at the second half of the service tonight, please think of this message and sing the praises with thinking of the lyrics or the word of God. Right, Father God said, do by the word, and the shepherd says that he wants us to go to heaven, New Jerusalem together. Then whenever we praise, you please do that, and especially tonight, I hope you sing praises with this mind. Before Paul met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus, he participated in persecution on Christians. So in God's sight, he was a sinner. In God's sight, he was a sinner before he met Jesus Christ. Then you may have this question. In the Old Testament days, God says, eye to eye and ear to ear. But Paul followed the law of the Old Testament as a Pharisee. Isn't it natural? Isn't it right? But think about God's people who actually loved God and received His grace in the Old Testament days. They didn't practice only the law. Abraham didn't pay eye to eye or ear to ear. He forgave, loved, understood, and sought God's will. So did Elijah and Moses. How was David? He forgave and loved his son Absalom, who betrayed him and tried to kill him, who was the king. He was driven away after his throne was taken to his son. The father, David, ran away from his son. He didn't have food or a place to sleep. He was running away, and his son was chasing him to kill him. Fathers must be angry in order to kill such undutiful son 100 times, but rather, he asked his servants not to kill his son Absalom. He didn't pay eye to eye or ear to ear, but he forgave with love. What about Moses? When God was about to destroy the people who didn't listen to God or him, he asked God to forgive them, saying he may rather erase his name from the book of life. Before his name was changed to Paul, Saul didn't have it. So it was It was not the righteousness in God's sight, but in his own sight. Therefore, after he met Jesus Christ, he considered all his knowledge as rubbish and took the valuable knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, and then he turned to deliver that knowledge to others. So, if someone stoned at him, he was just stoned. He sacrificed his life for the gospel. He loved the souls. He came to enjoy such value. Therefore, he says, not having a righteousness by of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Jesus did so too. He did only good works without any fault. He healed the sick, gave life, and delivered good news to the poor. Then evil people caught him and whipped him, spit on him, kicked him, and they even handed him over to put him on death row. He suffered such humiliation, was taken here and there. And after all, he wore the crown of thorns and was crucified. But even on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Our shepherd does the same. For us who sinned, he prayed. It was his fault. Our shepherd prayed for us with tears like that. Now, we have to pay back the grace. Deacon Stephen taught righteousness to people, but evil people stoned at him to death. And when he was dying, he knelt down and prayed, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The righteousness of God says is never to pay eye to eye or ear to ear. Loving your enemies is God's will. The Bible says to take everything captive to be obedience of Christ. It is to cast off every form of evil and fulfill righteousness according to God's word. So if you have hatred, cast it off. If you have jealousy, cast it off. All you have to do is to love, understand, and forgive as God says. If you practice the word of God, you can fulfill righteousness in your heart. If you fulfill the righteousness in heart, God's righteousness will be imprinted in you. The reason why we go to school and learn from teachers is to live a life of a decent human being. But how many of those teachers were perfect? The perfect teacher is only one. He is our God. When human righteousness conflicts with God's righteousness, it interrupts our achieving heart of spirit. So the fleshy thought is hostile toward God. We can take an example of King Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. Before him, judges ruled over Israel. Saul was from the Benjamites. He was taller than anyone, any of the people from his shoulders and up. He passed through every place to find his father's donkey. It tells us that he was faithful to his duty and he respected parents. He was anointed as the king by Samuel, the prophet. He ruled over Israel for 40 years. Only when he was set up as the king, he was shy and he hid himself. He was so humble. Also, by the request of men of Jabesh, he greatly beat the Ammonites. Then he gained the trust from people. We can see his patriotism. But at the battle against the Philistines, when Samuel didn't come in time and people scattered, Saul offered up the burnt sacrifice, which only priests could offer. Likewise, he disobeyed God's will according to his own conscience and his greed. Because he violated the duty of priest, Saul rebuked him. But he didn't repent, but gave an excuse. Also, when God told him to utterly destroy Amalek, he didn't obey. He caught its king, and he didn't just destroy a good livestock. Because of his fleshly thought, he disregarded God's truth, but became evil and wicked. He came to suffer from evil spirit. He chased to kill David, whom God anointed as the king. Because God commanded to utterly destroy Amalek, all he had to do was to obey, and God must be with him. But he took good things and captured the king. When he was asked why he disobeyed, he said, "People wanted it," and he took them to sacrifice to God. Disobedience comes from your own thought. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it as tax." Then his disciples went with saying, "Amen." When he said to bring the donkey, they said, "Amen," and obeyed. Can you do so? To bring the donkey, you have to pay. Then what do we pay? You may have questions and you may give some excuses. But Peter and John obeyed Jesus right away. Jesus often gave orders to Peter and John. When Peter was said to become a fisherman for men, he obeyed. That's why Peter and John were loved by Jesus, and Jesus was always with them. Likewise, to be obedient to Christ, we have to thoroughly break our fleshly thought. When you were novice believers, you were taught to keep the Lord's Day. What did you think at the time? Usually you earned more money on Sundays. So at first, it was hard to close the store on Sundays. Fleshy thoughts came to your mind. But as you heard the word, you obeyed one by one and kept the Sabbath. You felt peaceful. Your faith grew. As you kept the word of God, you had faith and hope for heaven. Also, you enjoyed more blessings during 6 days. You were protected in business, and you received blessings of prosperity. You must have this experience. But if you don't obey because of the benefit at the moment, even though you were likely to earn much money, it disappears soon. Because God cannot protect you, you may have robbery or theft, or you may spend much money because of diseases. There are people who live away from God's will, but when they get troubles or sick, they come before God, surrendering. If you cannot repent because of pride, but just pass wrong things, it's untruth and wrong. If you do something wrong, you have to repent. It's the right path and truth and God's law. It's God's will. Fleshly thought comes from the flesh, which comes from devil. So it makes you stand against God. If you follow the fleshly thoughts, you will get far away from God and fall into the world. Then you may meet tests and trials and go the way of death and destruction. You have to keep this in mind. To break the fleshly thought, we have to walk the right path of God. It is to cast off every form of evil and achieve the heart of goodness. As much as you have untruth like hatred, fight, envy, or jealousy, Satan works through your thought. In Genesis chapter 3, God says to the serpent, "You will eat dust all the days of your life." Dust spiritually means human. Man was made from dust and came back to dust because of sin. So it means to eat a man. But those who live in the will of God can never be accused by the enemy devil. They can never be Satan's food. If you are in flesh, you become Satan's food. If you don't have evil in you, you won't have fleshly thought. If you have evil in you, you have fleshly thought and you receive the work of Satan. If you have untruth in your heart, the things you see will be delivered to your heart. But because you have hatred in your heart, it becomes hatred, the untruth in you. You have to get rid of every form of evil, and you have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. God refined Joseph's right righteousness to make him fully goodness and become after God's heart. If you have self-righteousness, if you think that you are right, I hope you are changed by this message. It was Joseph's righteousness that he gave a bad report about his brother's faults to their father. I hope you realize what the righteousness of God is. Joseph hated that his brothers did lawless things, but it was to point out others, so it was disgraceful to his brothers. He pointed out his brothers, so his brothers hated Joseph all the more. He didn't act wisely, but was in discord with his brothers. As a result, he was sold as a slave by them. Although your righteousness is right, if it stirs up others' ill feelings and evil, you may get harmed from it. Deacon Stephen falls in this case. Deacon Stephen acted righteousness, but he was stoned to death. But Jesus, even though Jesus rebuked and admonished so many people and even called them brood of vipers, he hid himself and ran when he had to. He avoided the wicked. But Stephen would have done more wisely, but I'm not saying Stephen did something wrong. He has much love, and his position in heaven is the seat shining like the sun. But Joseph didn't know how to fulfill God's righteousness in peace. Joseph was honest and upright, but there was something to break, so God left him to be sold. God, who knows everything, caused things to work together for good. Although Joseph didn't choose a wise way, he was righteous, so God was in Joseph's side. Even after he was sold, he believed God and kept his way. He didn't fall in sin. He didn't find a way to live happily as a man, but relied on God spiritually. Then God helped him to get out of it in God's way. He refined him and also blessed him. Joseph was sold to Egypt and became a servant and the captain of the Pharaoh's guards, Potiphar's house. He received favor from his master, so Potiphar gave him authority to control everything in his house except his wife. At this time, Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph. He could have accepted it if he had agreed adultery or unrighteousness, but Joseph kept the right path and he was put into the jail. Our shepherd also walked the only right path. He was falsely accused and he was even discharged from the former denomination. As you saw, even though he seemed to die the next year, he revived. God blessed him all the more and worked on him more greatly. Because he walked the right path, God was with him and led him to victory in everything. If he didn't walk the right path but compromised with unrighteousness, he didn't suffer discharge. But how could he accomplish greater works? When you walk the right path for the great work of God, God is with you and works more greatly. As a result, our Father God is working greatly through the shepherd, like this. Well, worldly people do not walk the right path if they can have benefit. But it can be the benefit at the moment, but it will not be a benefit after all. If you keep walking the right path, then Father God works on you and he will give the turning of events. Joseph was put into jail. But even in the hopeless situation, he relied on God unchangingly. Then God blessed him to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh's servants. Eventually, he got out of jail. Also, by interpreting Pharaoh's dream, he saved the country and became the prime minister of Egypt. Likewise, Joseph didn't get sad or compromise with unrighteousness using fleshly thought, but kept the righteousness of God. He won after all. Through refinement, his self-righteousness disappeared. God worked on him so until he gained the power to rule over all people. Taking a thought captive to the obedience of Christ is to take every thought to obey and obey the word of God. You have to know the righteousness and goodness that God wants. I hope you fulfill it. You have to you should not use the fleshly thoughts when you hear the message. You have to only follow the word, obey the word. Only then our God works on us. Only by prayer you can receive strength to practice the word. So we should pray fervently and be filled with the Holy Spirit to control fleshly thought. Let me conclude the message. Apostle Paul was qualified of everything to have righteousness of men. But because the Lord was precious for him, he lowered himself before the Lord. He counted everything but rubbish and found the true righteousness in Jesus Christ. He realized that he was not a righteous man. He said that the righteousness he had was not derived from the law, but given by the law. Before you met God, you thought you were right, and all those things disappeared after you listened to the word of God. Remember that time. When tests and trials come to us, because our hearts are full of self-benefit and greed, if things don't agree with our own heart or our benefit, we come to suffer with worries and jealous. But what did God say? God said to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Let's say we use fleshly thoughts. If we meet with tests and trials, we become full of worries. There's nothing to rejoice or give thanks. How can we rejoice? What kind of word will you apply? Rejoice always, pray unceasingly, give thanks in everything. I hope you do obey this word. It says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes, and it will be done as you believed. To rejoice always and give thanks is light, and to be worried is darkness. If light comes in, darkness disappears. In this way, apply your situation to the formula of truth. If you have ill feelings, you feel uneasy, or if you gossip about others, apply this formula of truth and check yourself. If you drive away darkness by the word light, God will work. Some worries are brought by others, or you made them yourself by making mistakes. But once you become a righteous man, you can prevent tests by others, or you obey them. You will have solutions. Therefore, do not fight the fleshly fight, but act according to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I hope you take every thought captive to be obedience of Christ, so that you can receive rewards from God. When you are guided by the voice of the Holy Spirit and cast off every form of evil to be sanctified first, you'll receive God's wisdom, understanding, and brightness. I hope that God's works will be greatly accomplished by you who obey with yes and amen like our shepherd did. I also hope your spirit and soul prosper. I hope you always be loved and blessed with joy and thankfulness in your Christian life. I pray this in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.